I join in welcoming you this morning. I urge you to get your Bible and come with me back to the book of Jeremiah in chapter 1 and verse 10 as a basis for our study. When the Lord called Jeremiah and said, "See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." That's the reading of Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 10. Notice that Jeremiah was called to do some building up and tearing down. I want to talk to us about that this morning. Some of you may not realize it, but at one time there was a house that stood where that excavator outside now stands, that stood there for just shy of 100 years, 97 years. That house was built in 1922, and some of us were here as that came down, and we've seen that hauled away. But it furnishes us a good opportunity and occasion to be reminded of some spiritual truths. I want to talk to us about the fact that there are two groups of people. There are those who are builders, and then there are those who are wreckers. There's a poem, "Wrecker or Builder," that says, "I saw them tearing a building down, a gang of men in a busy town. With a ho-heave-ho and a lusty yell, they swung a beam and the building fell. Ask the foreman, are these men skilled as the men you'd hire if you had to build?" He gave a laugh and said, "No, indeed, just common labor is all I need. I can easily wreck in a day or two what builders have taken a year to do." And I thought to myself as I went away, which of these roles have I tried to play? Am I a builder who works with care, measuring life by rule and square? Am I shaping my deeds by well-made plans, patiently doing the best I can? Or am I a wrecker who walks the town content with the labor of tearing down? Wrecker or builder? Which are we? Let me suggest to you very quickly, though, that not all tearing down is bad. That's seen in our reading from Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 10, and that the Lord set Jeremiah to tear down. In fact, sometimes before you can build up, there must be tearing down. The tearing down of that house is a good tearing down. It shows progress being made in the work of the church here in Terre Haute. Let me give you some biblical examples of where some things were tore down spiritually, and these were a good tearing down. That which was done by Gideon in the book of Judges in chapter 6, when in verse 25, the Lord said unto him, "Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down." And the Bible says, Gideon did as the Lord had said. And that tearing down was done by night, according to verse 27. If you had been Gideon, would you have tore down what he tore down? As you come to the book of 1 Kings in chapter 15, you find another occasion when tearing down was a good thing. We read of the good reign of King Asa. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 15, beginning in verse 11, that Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. He took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. And also Maacah, his mother, even her he removed from being queen because she had made an idol in the grove. And the Bible reports that Asa destroyed her idol and burned it by the brook Hadron. Would you have destroyed idolatry that was introduced by your own mother if you'd been Asa in 1 Kings 15? And then in the book of 2 Kings chapter 10, we're impressed with the zeal of Jehu, who said to Jehonadab in 2 Kings 10 and verse 16, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." In verse 25, we find that the worshipers of Baal were smitten with the edge of the sword. Verse 26 says, they brought forth the images out of the house of Baal and burned them. And they break down the image of Baal and break down the house of Baal and made it a draught unto this day. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. And so I recommend that this was not a bad but a positive tearing down when the house of Baal was turned into a draft house. But also the zeal and the destructive work that was positive in nature done by Jehoiada in 2 Kings chapter 11, verses 17 and 18, when a covenant was made that they should be the Lord's people. And all the people of the land went into the house of Baal and break it down. His altars and his images break they in pieces thoroughly, and slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars, and the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. That's 2 Kings chapter 11, verses 17 and 18. As you advance forward in the book of 2 Kings in chapter 18, we read of the good reign of Hezekiah of Judah. Verses 3 and 4 talk about the fact that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. And he called it Nehushtan. And so here is an occasion when destruction was a good thing. During the reign of Josiah in 2 Kings chapter 23, notice beginning in verse 4, the king commanded that all of the vessels that were made for Baal and the grove and for the host of heaven be brought. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. He put down the idolatrous priest whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron and burned it at the brook Kidron and stamped it small to powder and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord where the women wove hangings for the grove. As you saw the house being broken down, did you think of some of these house breakings of the Old Testament? He brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burnt incense. Verse 10, he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. He took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun at the entering in of the house of the Lord. And the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break them down from thence and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had builded, did the king defile. And he brake in pieces the images and cut down the groves, and filled their place with the bones of men. This was a part of the reforming work of Josiah. Notice that there was some breaking down, tearing down, some destroying that had to take place in order for the people to build and to be restored, as the Bible teaches. I suggest to you that sinful attitudes, ungodliness, and worldly lust, as well as false teaching, all need to be removed. We heard read from Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31 just a moment ago. Sinful attitudes are mentioned, such as all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. He said, be put away from you with all malice. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul talked about the grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. And so those kind of things need to be tore down. In the book of Romans, chapter 16 and verse 17, Paul said, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. And so there are some things that need to be tore down. But also, as you think about building up and tearing down, let me suggest to you some occasions when tearing down is not good. Sometimes there are things that are tore down that ought not be tore down. One's name ought not be tore down. You know, there are those who work hard to build a name, to build a good reputation. And that can so easily be tore down. The Bible upholds the value and the worth of a good name. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1, the Bible says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." And yet there are those who would trade their good name for such things of lesser worth. The Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 1 said, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death and the day of one's birth." And so we recognize the value, the worth of a good name, and not allow that to be torn down or to be destroyed. Likewise, one's marriage can be torn down, and certainly that would not be a good thing. We need to work to preserve the blessing that we have as husbands and wives together that was instituted by God at the beginning in Genesis chapter 2, 18 through 24. When God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone, I'll make him an help meet for him." The Bible talks of this arrangement or this relationship that God brought into existence as an honorable thing. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4 says, "Marriage is honorable in all, in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." There are those who tear down their marriage. You and I need to build that up. We need to strengthen our marriage. Tearing down of one's brother certainly is not a good thing. And yet that was taking place among brethren in the first century. There were those who were destroying or tearing down their brother for things that really were insignificant. They were pressing their personal scruples, matters of individual determination, to the destruction of their own brethren. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 15, Paul said, "Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died." I like Paul's attitude when it came to matters of individual determination. He said, "If meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." That's 1 Corinthians 8, verse 13. And certainly we must not work to tear down or destroy the church. As one's name, one's marriage, and one's brother can be tore down, so it can be with the church. Far too much has been done to build up the church. The Lord said in Matthew 16 and verse 18, "I will build my church." He shed His blood to purchase the church. Paul spoke of the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Acts 20 and in verse 28. And so sometimes there are things that are built up that need to be tore down. And sometimes there are things that are tore down that ought not be. There's things that, in occasions when tearing down, is not good. But if you were present to see that house being taken down, you're impressed with how quickly things can be torn down. The house that took months to build was leveled in just about an hour. I think about all of the time that was spent in building that up by somebody or a group of people at one time. And then to see that just taken down in a very short period of time. Like in that poem that we noted, "Builder a Wrecker," in which it was said, "I can easily wreck in a day or two what builders have taken a year to do." And that's true with reference to one's name. A name that has been built over a period of time, maybe generations, through your grandparents, your parents, and then for somebody to come along and then just destroy that and to tear that down. And you and I must realize that quickly as a house is leveled, that our name can be torn down. That's true of one's marriage. A marriage that is built to last can be torn down in a moment through unfaithfulness, through betrayal, through dishonesty, by unscriptural putting away one's brother, one for whom Christ died, shed His blood, a member of the church that could be destroyed and tore down in a short period of time. And that can happen also with the church. The church of our Lord that has been built in this community, that is here today as a result of much sacrifice and hard work on the part of so many. That's taken years to build, to be to the point that it is today. And somebody, if you let them, could come in a very short order and tear it down. And you can realize that it won't be long, but what you wouldn't know that a house stood there. And there'd be those who would pass by this area not knowing that there was ever a house there. They think that this is how it has always been. And that could be true of churches in some places where somebody came in and they just wrecked the church. There were those who put forth a lot of effort to build the church up, and the church was destroyed and is lost in that place. And because of that, there may be people that pass by and there's no evidence that the church ever existed in that place. And that can happen of churches that took years to build, to be planted, to be established in a community, and for somebody to come along and tear that down in a day or two. But then finally, let me suggest to you that our aim here is to build up. I like the attitude of Nehemiah, who said in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 5, when he saw that the house had been broken down and things were in a state of disorder in Jerusalem, he said, "Send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it." May that be our attitude as well, that I may build it. The New Testament places a lot of emphasis on edifying. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 19, Paul said, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." Again, in chapter 15 and verse 2, he said, "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." Writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26, the last sentence in that passage says, "Let all things be done unto edifying." Another passage which we heard read a moment ago in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, Paul said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." That is, don't use your mouth to tear down, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Ephesians 4:29. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11 also talks about the importance of edifying. It is written, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye do." Let me think with you about some ways that you and I can build up or edify. We can do that through a godly example. Matthew 5 talks about us being the salt of the earth and the light of the world in verses 13 through 16. Paul said, "Be thou an example of the believers" in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. It talks about areas in which we can set a good godly example. In Titus 2:12, we talked about things that need to be tore down, like ungodliness and worldly lust. And then on the other side of that, he said, living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And so we can build up the church by setting a godly example. Through daily exhorting, we can build up. Hebrews 3 and verse 13 says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." We can build up by faithful attendance in Hebrews 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Through spirited singing, we build up the church. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, Ephesians 5:19. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, Colossians 3 and verse 16. We build up the church by cheerful giving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul talked about the example of the church, which is of Macedonia. And then he exhorted the church at Corinth, "He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." We can also build up through teaching the Word of God. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, Paul commended the Ephesians to God and to the word of His grace, which He said is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. I've been taught to teach the things Paul said that thou hast learned or heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit that of faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And then in Hebrews 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, we can build up through teaching others the Word of God. And by inviting others to come, I urge us to be like the woman of Samaria in John chapter 4, who when she found the truth in Jesus, went her way into the city and she said, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto Him. If you'd been this woman, would you have gone into the city and said, come? The Bible says they came. That shows the power of an invitation. And don't overlook the invitation that was extended by Cornelius to his family and friends when he was told to send for Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Acts 10 and verse 24 says, Cornelius waited and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And when Peter arrived, he found many that were come together. Acts 10, 27. And in verse 33, they had this attitude, therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Yes, there are two groups of people. There are wreckers and there are builders. Not all tearing down is bad. There are some things that need to be removed. But there are some occasions when tearing down is not good. How quickly things can be torn down. But our aim is to build up. Remember that unlimited good can be accomplished in a short time when we have a mind to rise up and build. In Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, it is said, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. That great task of building the wall of Jerusalem took place in just 52 days, according to Nehemiah 6 and verse 15. So the wall was finished in 52 days. And so may God help each one of us to work diligently to build up the church and to not allow anybody under any circumstance to tear it down. You can help build up the church today by being a faithful member of it. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, the church of Christ, you're invited to be. Jesus invites, come unto me, Matthew 11 and verse 28. He gave Himself for you, Ephesians 5, 25, and shed His blood for you, Acts 20 and verse 28. We need to hear His word, to believe with all of our heart, to repent of our sins, to confess our faith in the Son of God, to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, and then dedicate ourselves to being faithful unto death. All things are ready for you today that you might be baptized. If we can assist you in that, we encourage you to come forward and make your desires known. If you've already obeyed the gospel, but you've not been setting the proper example, you've not been building up, but you realize that your attitudes and your actions have been those that would tear down and destroy what God would have built up, and you want to repent of that, you want to ask for the prayers of brethren, we'd be happy to pray with you as together we stand and sing. Won't you come?